This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This race was playing out. It was clear to a lot of us back in 2006 after what the Democrats did that this race was going to play out very differently, that previous tactics were not going to work, and that the landscape was going to be very different. And I think you saw that very clearly, that McCain contested seriously only four states won by Kerry, while Obama contested 10 that had been won by Bush and won 9 of those 10, which is why he has the margin that he has. It's not a landslide victory, but 7%, which is what it is now, is still pretty significant. It is a majority of the vote. He increased the margins in both the Senate and the House with a number of races still to be determined, and still potentially with Missouri can go either way when they ever finish counting there. And within Virginia, you saw how much Virginia has changed. With Obama winning as largely as he did here, while I don't think the 11th was ever in any doubt about the Democrats being able to pick that up, absent Davis running again. Well, we saw two other races, Thelma Drake losing to Glenn Nye in the second, and then Tom Perriello pulling one of the big upsets in the country here on the 5th, defeating Virgil Goode. I would like to comment that there is something in common of all three Democratic winners, which is that they have international relations experience. Connally for 10 years as a staffer on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Glenn Nye as a diplomat for the United States, and Tom Perriello with the human rights work that he's done overseas. So from a standpoint of somebody who's a Democrat, it was a very delightful evening Tuesday night.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He blogs and is recognized nationally as a political blogger. He blogs as Teacher Ken. And Ken, let me ask you, you talked about a lot of stuff. Let's get into some depth on some of the things you mentioned. Did we see a lot of these negative ads that the McCain campaign run and that were run by folks running for House seats around the country? They didn't work, a lot of them. I won't say not all of them worked, but a lot of them not only didn't work, but they backfired. And the numbers are showing that a lot of those the approach that the McCain campaign had there in the last month actually worked against the McCain campaign. Did we see a repudiation of Rove / Lee Atwater tactics, or did they just not work this time?
Well, I'm not sure you've seen a repudiation. The normal tendency is the purpose of a negative ad is not necessarily to draw votes to you, but to drive votes away from the other person. But you have to be careful. If you go too far to the point where it's non-believable, then at that point it raises questions about what you're doing. The classic example of that is the North Carolina Senate race, where Liddy Dole basically in an ad accused her opponent, Kay Hagan, of being an atheist. Well, Kay Hagan's a Sunday school teacher, and her counter ad was devastating. I don't believe in bearing false witness against a fellow Christian. That destroyed Liddy Dole. Even Carter Wren, who ran the famous hands ad for Jesse Helms against Harvey Gantt back in the 1990, I guess.
Yeah,
that was.
I remember that.
Said it was over the top. And if Carter Wren is saying something is over the top, if Alex Castellanos is saying it's over the top, it's over the top. I think there's a point beyond which you cannot go, but it also has to be the mood. This time in this country, people wanted to hear what you were going to do for them, not what was wrong with the other guy. And the other problem is by the time McCain started running a lot of those ads, people had already seen one or two debates with Obama and decided he was at least acceptable, so that the trying to tear him down was going up against the credibility he had already built up.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, nationally recognized political blogger. Now, this swing state, Virginia, which still blows me away what happened here. I just never would have thought in a million years that Virginia was that swingable. But indeed, it proved to be. To break this down for us, what happened in Virginia, Ken, last week?
Okay, you can't just break it down here. You go back starting with Mark Warner in 2001, winning statewide, but when he won statewide in 2001, he was able to build up credibility, at least for himself personally, in rural districts. That's point one. Point two, you have demographic changes in the state, with more and more people coming into Northern Virginia, so that in the statewide race, there is a heavier percentage of the vote in Northern Virginia. That is leading to some of the exurb suburbs like Prince William and Loudoun now being suburbs that before were totally out of play for the Democrats, but that the Democrats can now win. Point three is the Democrats were very well organized throughout the state. You look at Obama wound up with over 50 offices in the state for quite some time. The only office McCain even had was the one in his national headquarters in, you know, communist Northern Virginia, as his brother called it, in Arlington. So as a result, the Democrats had the field workers to do the things. Now, as annoying as people may feel it is to have people knock on your door or phone you or whatever else, over the last weekend, the Obama campaign was able to make touch with something over 25% of the households in the Commonwealth. That's in like one weekend or less. And to get door hangers on every single identified person's door to turn out their votes.
That's huge.
It is huge. And you saw it in Arlington where our turnout was in the upper 70s, and we were someplace in the 70s, and we got well over 70% of that vote for Obama. You can take a look. This is a point of fact, how Webb won in 2006. There's huge margins in Fairfax and Arlington, plus carrying the city of Richmond, and then the rest of the state didn't matter because his margins were so big.
We're talking with nationally recognized political blogger Ken Bernstein. He blogs as Teacher Ken on a number of national websites.
One other thing let me add on this is you also, by the nature of this race, saw an historic African-American turnout. And that, of course, inevitably helped not only Obama, but also helped particularly for Glenn Nye down in the 2nd Congressional District. And certainly the additional African-American turnout helped Perriello as well.
So if I hear you right, and this is a lesson for anybody involved in campaign politics, the ground game does matter big time. And by the ground game, I mean your folks, volunteers out there knocking on doors, handing out palm cards, and meeting people and shaking hands. That is absolutely critical.
It clearly was, and that was shown in the primaries going around, because the other thing is when you get the volunteers involved, you have an infrastructure. Look, I was something of a radical. I said back in March that I thought the best thing happening for the Democrats was to have a primary that continued at least into the beginning of June, because that gave Obama a chance to shake out the bugs. He was not a great debater at the start of the campaign. He was a very good debater at the end. But in the meantime, you ginned up people's interest through the primaries. You had a chance to work out messages, and you built organizations in states that later paid off. Let me name three: Indiana, North Carolina, and Virginia. I would argue, absent contested primaries, Obama would not have had the organization to carry those three states this past Tuesday.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. The one that shocked me the most, Ken, was Indiana. I never would have thought for a million years that would go blue.
There are a couple of reasons for it having gone blue. One is heavy turnout in the northwestern part of the state, Lake County, where Gary, Indiana is, which is African-American. The second, which most people don't realize, is in some ways Indiana had been the most heavily industrialized state in the United States, and it has suffered, along with Ohio, disproportionately in jobs being shipped overseas. And for whatever reason, McCain did not seem to connect with that, and I think he cut his throat on September 15th when he said that the fundamentals of the American economy were still good. People didn't want to hear that when they saw their world collapsing around them.
Ken, let me ask you to role play here and imagine that you are a Republican consultant and you have the ear of the Republican Party here in Virginia. What do they need to do? What's their best options moving forward here? Because these are conversations that I know for a fact are taking place among Republicans in Virginia. What do we do now?
Well, the first thing is we have to stop running races where we can count on, as a Republicans, getting our base out and trying to turn other people off, because now that doesn't work. For example, if you try to run as anti-immigrant, you tend to forget how many people are recent citizens who have, you know, come from immigrant background who think you're picking on them. Take a look at how the Hispanic vote went in this election. Nationally, Obama won a 2-1 despite the fact that McCain fought his own party on immigration reform. Second, you need a clear message which you can appeal to a broader range of people than just a narrow base, whether it is a religious right base or a business base. You must have a message that connects to a larger group of people, because having developed an energized electorate that is broader, you cannot expect that it's going to shrink down in the near future. That means that for all you think you may turn out voters with anti-gay marriage type things or school prayer things, people are concerned with other issues. It's not that the Republicans don't have answers on some of the issues. There are some very thoughtful Republicans, including in this state, who have demonstrated and offered a different message which could play. But the thing I think the Republicans are going through now is they're being Democrats and they're arranged in a circular firing squad, which as a Democrat it's fun to watch.
And certainly we've seen Sarah Palin as one of the folks in the middle of that circular firing squad. They've really gone after her to blame her for McCain's loss.
Well, my understanding, and I'm not that well connected in Republican circles, is that is coming from two other sources within the Republican Party. There are a number of people involved with McCain's campaign who did come from other campaigns. And my understanding is that the sources of those comments are people, to a large degree, who had been associated either with Romney or with Huckabee, each of whom would have their own reasons for wanting to take Palin down.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. We're talking with Teacher Ken, as he is known nationally, a nationally recognized political blogger. Kendi, would you go so far as to say that Howard Dean is one of the unsung heroes of Obama's victory because of it was his idea that the Democrats were going to go into these areas like the West and the Midwest and the Southeast states to go after some of those votes that folks, the party before him, had written off?
We saw that that worked to a degree that had been unexpected in 2006, particularly in some House races. The fact of Dean putting resources in at states that the Democrats knew they weren't carried gained them a great deal of loyalty from state party chairs because that helped them in their local races. However much of a hero he may have been for pioneering that, it would have made no difference if the campaign of the candidate had not bought into that idea to some degree, which Obama did by running something of a national campaign. What is not clear, however, and this is very important, is whether or not it's going to continue. Dean had pledged to serve only one term, so he's out when his successor is elected in January. And the field workers in the states have all been given layoff notices. I know two personally here in Virginia who have received layoff notices, so it's not completely clear what's going to happen. On the other hand, the Obama campaign has hit its email list to ask for donations to the DNC, which took out a big loan to help with House and Senate races. So we're going to have to see how it plays out. But yes, the willingness to expand the map, I think, was critically important to the size of Obama's victory this time.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. Ken, before we let you go, let me ask you about Virginia now next year. Virginia is about to get as political as the nation has been over the last year with races for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and every seat in the House of Delegates up for election in 2009, plus a whole host of local races, board of supervisors, city council. Give us a look into your crystal ball and tell us how you see this year's politics affecting politics here in Virginia in 2009.
One thing you will see, and you saw it also in 2007, is you're going to see a lot of people who have just been playing in successful campaigns as consultants or as managers or whatever, who will come in and be working at what will seemingly be a lower level state legislative races because, you know, you got the mayor of New York, the governor of New Jersey, and the races in Virginia. That's the stuff that plays next year. And the possibility of taking control of the Virginia House of Delegates is something that appeals a great deal to people in terms of the standpoint of redistricting, since that redistricting theoretically would be done while Kane is still governor unless he leaves for another position. You would argue that the Republicans start with an advantage for the governor's race because they don't have a primary. However, that kind of thinking may no longer be accurate because, after all, McCain wrapped up his nomination much earlier. He didn't get the free press and the chance to shake out his message. Generic ballot gives the edge to the Democrats for the governorship. Now, all kinds of things can affect that. The down-ballot races, I'm assuming that Bowling will not be challenged for lieutenant governor. For all the other races, all three on the Democratic side and the other two on the Republican side, you are potentially looking at rather serious primaries. And, you know, until you know how that shakes out, you don't know who has the edge one way or the other. The bigger edge overall is that the Democratic Party of Virginia at this point is much more cohesive statewide than the Republican Party is. That doesn't mean they're all that cohesive. This is just comparative, okay?
Right.
For statewide races, the turnout advantage in Northern Virginia is a huge edge for the Democrats. In individual delegate races, though, that's a hard one to call. The Democrats are in jeopardy of losing a couple of the seats they picked up the last time if they don't keep the pedal to the metal. And they would need to pick up, what is it, net six to take control of the House. And that can be a tall order if you start to lose any seats. There is no guarantee, as strong as the Democratic Party is, that they take control of the House of Delegates. But you will have two United States senators, you will have a governor, and you will probably get some help from the President of the United States coming in, at least on the statewide races, to help boost the outcome, which I would think would mean that the Democrats will start with a little bit of an edge. And if they can build on what they've done, they may very well have more money than the Republicans do.
And, of course, the news breaking today is that former head of the DNC and the man behind Hillary Clinton's campaign, Terry McAuliffe of Northern Virginia, has filed papers to run for governor, to run for the Democratic nomination for governor.
Yeah, he's going to run. I think people would be shocked if he didn't. I'm not sure what that does is make it more interesting, because he is not that well known other than party cognoscenti at this point. Among the people who are known, he's going to be more known in Northern Virginia, where he's based and where people have seen what he's done as part of our local news, because the Washington Post is our local newspaper. I would still, all things being considered, based on where organizations are right at this moment, give a slight edge to Brian Moran, even in a three-way race, but it's still very, very early.
He is known nationally as Teacher Ken. His name is Ken Bernstein, and he is a nationally recognized political blogger. Ken, it's always great to talk to you. I appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.